leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones with Mike Adams. When you wake up in
the morning and the light. All right, welcome back, folks. Mike Adams here for the third hour of the Alex Jones Show. Coming to you from my studios, also in or near Austin, Texas. And, of course, I'm the editor of naturalnews.com. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for all your support of independent media. And, you know, I was just thinking the other day, and by the way, congratulations to Joe Biggs on having his prosecution completely vacated by the DOJ, and also to Stuart Rhodes. And I have said many times that those individuals who were wrongfully prosecuted on J6, they deserve $10,000 a day for every day that they were wrongfully incarcerated. $10,000 a day, absolutely. And again, and it's more than just Stuart Rhodes and Joe Biggs, but those are two that you probably know. And I'm so happy for them to be able to get their veterans benefits back, to be able to own firearms again. You know, they were wrongfully prosecuted. But guess who else was wrongfully prosecuted in civil court who hasn't had his nefarious prosecution overturned? Alex Jones. Alex Jones was raked over the coals in the Sandy Hook trials, as you well know, as Alex has covered many times. And that, I think it was a $1.5 billion judgment against Alex that was, in my view, it was a complete scam. The trial was rigged. The judge didn't apply the rule of law. Evidence wasn't allowed to be presented. And Alex never even got a trial by jury. Never got a trial by jury. It was an automatic judgment against Alex by a rigged court system that we now know because of James O'Keefe and some of what he found out. This whole thing was run by the CIA, who put the jury in place and, you know, pushed on everybody to get the judgment they wanted to try to shut down InfoWars. Well, the fact is, as you are listening to this today, InfoWars is not shut down. And even if the courts order the liquidation of the InfoWars domain name or the InfoWars, you know, hardware for broadcasting, they can't take the InfoWars spirit. And if anybody needs to have their judgment reversed, it's Alex Jones. In fact, I think that the federal government owes Alex Jones $1.5 billion. But, you know, hey, that day may never come. And since it may never come, the best way to support Alex Jones right now is at the Alex Jones store. com. And, you know, they always have great specials. They're dedicated to your health and your nutrition. And I'm so glad that Alex understands the importance of nutrition because, you know, here I am as the health ranger and, you know, nutrition is what I live by. I've got my smoothie right here. You know, I'm out exercising. I'm using nutrition every day. And now they've got the Ultra Methylene Red as well as the Methylene Blue at the alexjonesstore.com. I'm not going to go through all the details here, but you should check those out. And that's the best way that you can support this platform because they're not going to reverse the judgment probably against Alex Jones. So shop at thealexjonesstore.com to help support freedom of speech. Now, let's get back to the economic nightmare that is coming for our world. Now, if you go to neoclassical economics, there's something here called the Cobb-Douglas production function, okay? And pardon me, I got to put on my glasses to read my laptop here. It's so small. But the Cobb-Douglas production function pretends that all the main inputs into GDP are interchangeable. So they want to pretend that labor and energy and capital and technology are all interchangeable. So, and this is all old, basically Keynesian school of economics nonsense, okay? But they believe that if you don't have energy, because energy is getting cut off right now, then you can just replace that with, like, capital. So it's like, oh, hey, the power grid's off, the lights are out. Well, good thing we have extra loans. You know, that doesn't work. Your factory doesn't run without power. Your trucks don't run without diesel. Come on, it doesn't work that way. So as a result of their bad theories, and by the way, let me say for the record that economics is the one area of academia, well, one among many, but one of the primary areas where you can be called a scientist and you can win a Nobel Prize when all your theories are complete fantasy nonsense. That's economics, okay? Economics should never be called a science. There's almost nothing scientific about it. It's not like physics and chemistry and engineering and biology. Economics is just people making stuff up all day and claiming that that represents reality. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. Now, and there are some good economists out there. I'm not slamming all of them. But the old school economics doesn't work here. And the reason this is important for you to understand, not that I'm trying to turn this into an economics lesson, is that the roughly 20% reduction in global energy supply now, because of the war on Iran and the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, that, according to these old school economists using the Cobb-Douglas production function, they think that will only result a 1% to 2% reduction in global GDP. So they wouldn't even call that a recession. They would just say, oh, it's a little dip, but everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to recover. We're fine. The problem is they're wrong, because if you don't have energy, you can't do all the other things that make your economy function. Without energy, it doesn't matter how much labor you have. You know, without energy, you can't run the technology that is a multiplier for corporations and productivity and factories, etc. You need energy to power everything else in the economy. So the truth is that without energy, the impact is going to be much more than 1% to 2%. And how much more? Well, I'm going to tell you. But let's step back for a moment. If you go back to the 2008 subprime housing collapse, that impact on global GDP was about 1% to 2%. So that was called the Great Financial Crisis, right? The GFC. And, you know, we didn't go into a Mad Max scenario at that time, thank goodness. That was something that we could all survive. And we didn't run out of energy. We still had oil flowing in the subprime housing collapse. And by the way, if you haven't seen the movie, The Big Short, you should definitely check that out. But as that movie depicts, and as reality showed, we could recover from a 1% to 2% reduction in GDP. Now then, you fast forward to the COVID years, which we all lived through. The COVID years, starting in 2020, massive contraction of economic activity around the world. Everything was shut down because of all the, you know, the forced lockdowns, the shutdowns, the governments, the freaking concentration camps in Australia, you name it, right? It was insane. Oil went negative price at that time. I don't know if you remember that. Oil went to something like minus $45 a barrel, which meant they were giving it away if you could take physical delivery. That never happened before or since. But there was so much oil in the system. There was so much energy available. They were freaking giving it away. And all the storage was completely full because nobody could take on any more energy at that time. Well, that entire event, the COVID-19 event, the economic impacts on the world were about 3% reduction in GDP. Okay. So worse than the great financial crisis of 2008, not nearly as bad as what's coming, which I'm about to explain. So using modern economic modeling and understanding that understands the role of energy in enabling everything else, capital, labor, technology, etc. If you have a 20% reduction in energy, you will have at minimum a 10% reduction in GDP. And the real number is probably more like 12% or 14%, something like that. But I'm just going to say 10% to be conservative here, and it's an easy number to work with. So 20% loss of energy, which is where we are now, that's been in place for, what, 6 or 7 weeks now, and it looks like it's going to continue because Trump and Hegseth are bragging about how they've closed the Strait of Hormuz now, even though a week ago they were bragging about how they had opened it, so nobody can keep track. But it remains almost entirely closed. It used to be 120, 130 ships a day would sail through the strait. Now that number is single digits, right? And only typically with Iran's permission. So it's basically closed. So we are going to have at least a 10% reduction in GDP based on this once all of the existing oil buffer in the system runs out. And by the way, when I say oil, I'm using it generically. I also mean other hydrocarbons. I mean gas, oil, petroleum products, et cetera. Okay. Different kind of refined products, diesel, kerosene, gasoline, you name it. I'm just going to use the word oil in a generic sense. So what this means is that we are about to face, you and I, we are about to face triple COVID in terms of the economic collapse that's coming. Three times worse than COVID. Actually, more than three times, because COVID, let's say COVID was 3%. We're looking at 10, maybe 12%. So let's say 3 to 4 times worse than COVID. And most of you watching, you lived through COVID. So you remember that. You remember everything was shut down. Heck, they even shut down the churches for some reason. It was hard to shop for food, you know, and they made you wear masks. They made you get jabbed if you wanted to fly on an airplane, all this crazy nonsense. That was a test. That was a test of obedience to see how many people they could get to go along with the new rules that the government was putting onto you through a completely fake, hoaxed plandemic. It wasn't even real. Now, it was convincing. It was, believe me, it was convincing. I mean, it had me fooled for, you know, a couple of months also. But very quickly, it became obvious that the whole thing was fake and rigged, and they were using it as an obedience test. So those were the COVID lockdowns. That was the COVID GDP destruction. Now we're about to have, like I said, 3 to 4 times worse. What do you think that's going to look like? You are going to see, wait, let me add one more statistic to this. Every 1% reduction in global GDP thrusts about 40 to 50 million people worldwide into extreme poverty. Every 1% reduction, let's say 50 million people, extreme poverty. Not just in America, I mean globally. So if you're looking at a 10% global reduction in GDP, you're looking at 500 million people thrust into extreme poverty. That's 500 million people. And by extreme poverty, what do I mean? Can't eat, can't afford food, can't afford clothing, can't afford home, rent, shelter. I mean homeless, living on the streets, dumpster diving for food, okay? That level of extreme poverty, that will strike America and other countries all around the world. So we're talking about thrusting 500 million people into that level of extreme poverty. What happens from there, especially as this closure continues to play out and gets extended in time, is that the desperation spreads. All the buffer of energy and oil and gas in the system and all the supply chain of spare parts, that all evaporates just within a couple of months, I mean, depending on the parts. But that mostly evaporates to the point where people can't get tires for their car. They can't get, you know, air filters for their tractor. They can't buy food. I mean, even the transportation companies can't get tires for their trucks, things like that, okay? I can't get lubricants. You know, lubricants come from hydrocarbons, of course. When you lose all the lubricants that power the diesel fleets and the transportation fleets, guess what? Yeah, you have a standstill of transportation. So that scenario is also coming if the closure continues for a period of time of several more months. So when that happens, then all over the world, you get this incredible gap between rich and poor, this chasm of wealth, where you've got the top 0.1%, whatever it is, that own all the media, they own all the companies, they make all the decisions, they fund all the campaigns. You know, they have all the influence in Washington, and they control all the media. I mean, it's just right. It's just a handful of people who control like 99.9% of the wealth in this country. You've got those people, and then you've got the great masses who are impoverished and increasingly desperate and homeless and starving and dumpster diving. And then the middle class is gone. And what history shows us is that when this chasm becomes very, very large, which the left would call inequality, but they mean something different about that. Oh, yeah, look at that. Are those scenes from Venezuela where they're dumpster diving for food? I don't know where that is, but that's going to be happening in America. You're going to see people chasing like garbage trucks, looking for lunch, things like that. So when the chasm becomes very wide, what you end up with is uprisings. Uprisings, social revolt, all of that. And then revolutions in some countries. Historically, this is what has happened. And especially this happens when the people in charge are perceived by the citizens as being arrogant and detached. And I can't think of a better example than where we are right now with, you know, Carolyn Leavitt at the White House telling us that over the last year, fuel prices have gone down, way down. And you and I are filling up gas at the gas station. Like, what are you talking about? You're completely living in a fantasy world. Or Trump telling us grocery prices have gone down. What are you talking about? Do you not shop for food? Well, no, he doesn't. Or just the horrible visual of having that DoorDash grandma show up at the White House delivering a bag of McDonald's and Trump handing her a tip. Like, why are grandmas having to work into their 70s, apparently, in this economy when this is supposed to be a golden age? People in that age range should be able to retire and live comfortably on their savings. The problem is their savings are being obliterated. So that brings me to another infographic here. So to the producers here, go back to that one you were just showing, the real arsonist infographic that I have on one of my articles on Natural News. It shows that the money printing is burning your wealth. And as the living wage becomes impossible for people to obtain, even though they are still working, then, you know, the fiat currency is funding debt and war funding and bailouts and corruption. But they're abandoning honest money. Honest money is gold and silver. That's why it's so important. But the problem is then the U.S. dollar, which is based on this pyramid of power, and it's a giant Ponzi scheme, then that begins to collapse as more and more countries move away from the dollar. That's where we are now. And you are going to see a lot more people lashing out, setting warehouses on fire, engaging in felony arson and other, you know, similar operations. Okay. So that's going to be a disaster. Now, the first story that I have there, again, to the producers on Natural News is that has an infographic called The Coming Collapse. And I just want to walk you through this one next. So the coming collapse is when you examine, go ahead and scroll down to the infographic on that, please. It's the energy, economics, and systemic fragility of the system. And this is what I was just talking about. You see that right there. It talks about capital, labor, energy, and then there's technology in there. This infographic isn't perfect. It's AI generated with a long prompt. So sometimes it has typos in it. But anyway, that's the neoclassical error. And the reality is that energy is the prerequisite that makes all of this possible. So if you scroll down to the second part of that, as I said, it's going to be more than three times worse than COVID. So you see the 2008 crisis, it says here roughly 2% of GDP. It's actually considered 1%, 1.5%. COVID pandemic, about 3% of GDP. The coming energy shock will be at least 10% of GDP will be cut. And then the bottom panel there is modern system fragility. We live in a just-in-time interconnected and highly dependent network of supply chains and commodities and rare earths and minerals and so on. That is going to collapse. And what it means is that, and this panel on the lower right there, the reason I put that in there is because, see, let me back up. The only time in our history that it was worse than this was the Great Depression. I mean, in history of anybody who could be living today, that was the Great Depression. In the Great Depression, we had a minus 30% GDP contraction. That was devastating. But at that time, the American people were a whole different generation, and they had skills that most of us don't have today. At that time, you know, maybe it was your great grandparents or grandparents or whatever generation it was. They knew how to do things, right? They knew how to fix their shoes and mend their clothes, and they knew how to grow food and can food. And they didn't depend as much on centralized systems. They could do things themselves. They could raise chickens, you know, they could raise cattle. They were more self-reliant than we are today. It's not even close, right? Today, we are more dependent on the system than at any time, any previous generation in America's history. So even though the people in the Great Depression, they made it through, they suffered, but they made it through because they knew how to do things. They knew how to live off the land. We don't know that today. Most of our population lives in cities. Most of the people in our country, not you watching this because, you know, you're practical, you're well-educated about how to do things in the real world, but most people don't know how to change a tire on a car. I'm serious. And some people wouldn't know what to do if you handed them a pencil sharpener. Like, what is that? You know, their whole world exists on their mobile phones, and that's all they know is what's digital. The only things that they can do with their hands are type in messages and likes and things like that, and that's it. They don't know how to build a fence. They don't know what is an H brace on a fence. You know, they don't know how to keep cattle in. They don't know how to repair barbed wire, right? They don't know how to fix a tractor. They don't know how to do any of these things. And so when this economic collapse hits, and it's incoming right now, when this hits, or maybe I should call it a contraction, not a collapse, this is going to be more devastating to the American people than the Great Depression in terms of the desperation, because people don't grow their own food for the most part today. And very few people are preppers out there. You know, again, the exception is this audience. You're well prepared. You know, you've been getting prepared for a long time. But the mainstream Americans, they're not preppers. They're not gardeners. They don't know how to grow their own food. So they're entirely dependent on a system that is going to fail them. And when that happens, there's going to be desperation at a level that we have never seen in this country. By the midterms of this year, it's going to be bad, but it's going to get worse after the midterms. And the midterms, probably, if we stay on this current trajectory, the midterms, the GOP is going to get absolutely slaughtered. Marjorie Taylor Greene is correct on this point, in my view. The GOP is going to get slaughtered. It's very likely the Democrats will even take control of the Senate, not just the House. And then beginning in January of next year, Trump is going to be impeached every freaking week. I mean, they're going to vote to impeach him every week. Now, they don't have the votes in the Senate to convict him, probably, but if he continues to get crazier, then they might have the votes to actually convict him. And then that would give us President J.D. Vance. But also, by the way, the Democrats are going to be busy impeaching Hegseth and others. Maybe Marco Rubio. I mean, Hegseth probably will be charged as a war criminal by the ICC at some point, you know, for the things that he has said and done and threatened and actually carried out. So not only, the reason I say this is because not only are we going to be facing domestic desperation in terms of economics and famine and, you know, food banks running out of food, we're going to be facing political upheaval in this country like we probably haven't seen since the 1960s. That's where this is all headed. And you have a preview of what's coming because you watch InfoWars. So you have a heads up more so than almost anybody else in society. Take advantage of that. And we're about to go to a quick break. And when we come back, I will cover some details about what you can do to insulate yourself from what is coming. That's going to be the most critical survival technique of all, is surviving the collapse of how society has functioned our entire lives. So stay with us. I'll be right back. Mike Adams here on the Alex Jones Show.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah!
Yeah!